Hey there, everyone. Welcome back to Marketing Matchmaker. I am super excited about today's podcast. I have Kim Thompson Pinder on today, and she is the extraordinary word ninja and chief visionary officer for RTI Publishing and the host of Authors to Authority podcast and an author of a book by the same name. I love Kim's story because she didn't write for 30 years because a teacher once told her at the age of 7 that she was no good at writing and should stop. Then she finally came to a crossroads and chose to let those painful words go. Since she has set her words free, she's gone on to publish several books and I'm sure has a lot more on the way. Most importantly, though, Kim started RTI Publishing and has helped hundreds of entrepreneurs become authors and authorities who have books that generate leads for their business and increase their visibility. Kim loves to share the power of words on her Author to Authority podcast. And it's actually a podcast that I have been on. I would encourage all of you to go have a listen. It was so fun being on her podcast that I invited Kim to ours so that we could have a conversation around marketing and books and how that kind of works. So welcome to the show, Kim. I'm super excited to have you. Tell me a little bit about your story. What was it like writing your first book? And what did it feel like? Why did you do it? Did you give up or want to give up? Because I'm sure there's a lot of our audience out there that feels that way.
So first of all, Jennifer, thank you for having me on the show. And audience, you've got to go listen to Jennifer's episode. It was amazing. She talked about lead generation unleashed. How do you transform prospects into profit? It was an incredible conversation and you will enjoy it greatly. You can find the Author to Authority podcast on all your major podcast apps and YouTube, and you will go to episode 481. So you do not want to miss that episode with Jennifer, because that is just going to encourage you to take your business to the next level with some really good, strong, practical hints and tips. Now, you talked about being told at 7 years old I shouldn't write, and the fact that I was able to let those words go. And when I did, I started writing blog posts. And then I realized I had books in me. Computer, the tears were streaming down my face. I'm like, God, I can't do this anymore. Like I hadn't even written the first word yet. Like I couldn't get past. There was these humongous obstacles of what I was going to write about. And then I had 50 million ideas and they were all kind of opposite to each other. And nothing had happened in 6 months. Mm. And like I said, that day I was just so frustrated. You know, sometimes as women, when we're frustrated, we cry. When we're sad, we cry. When we're happy, we cry. Like it's one of those things that women release emotion through tears sometimes. And I was just so frustrated. And I just felt, you know, that tiny voice of God sometimes speaks to you. And I just felt like, write every idea down that you have for a book. I thought, I can do that.
Yeah.
So for 3 weeks straight, I wrote down every single idea I had ever wanted to put in a book.
Wow.
Now this, at the time, I wasn't a publisher. I was in network marketing. It was good at the time when my kids were small because I could work at home, earn some extra money. I wanted to teach and train people what I had learned so that they didn't go through some of the struggles that I did. So for 3 weeks straight, I wrote down ideas. I even had a pen and paper beside my bed at night. And I would just pick it up and kind of try to write on it without waking my husband up. So, of course, in the morning, you could barely read it because it was like all over the page. And usually there was like two or three ideas all crossing over. So I had to kind of figure that out. But after 3 weeks, I had, I don't know how many pages of just notes.
Yeah.
Notes, notes, notes. And I'm thinking, okay. It's like, what do I do next? Okay, sort them out. I sorted them out. I realized my biggest issue was not that I didn't have enough to write. I actually had 3 books I wanted to write.
Oh.
And when I had sorted them all out, then it became really clear. And so within 6 months, I was able to publish the first book. Within the year, I had published the other 2. Now, it wasn't as easy as that.
Right.
I had no clue what I was doing. Okay. I was okay at writing. My editing sucked. And I didn't know how to format. So that's how do you create the interiors of the book? And how do you do a cover? I mean, I can barely draw a straight line with a ruler, let alone design a cover. So I had all these obstacles and I had no money to pay someone to do it. And I had no money for courses. So I would Google everything. I would pay $7 on Udemy to answer one small thing that at least kept me moving forward. The laptop almost went out the window. I don't know how many times because I was so frustrated. The only thing that stopped me was my husband was a computer guru. And if the computer went out the window, he probably would have divorced me. So couldn't throw the computer out the window. But finally, I was able to get it done. And, you know, I relate it to kind of like being pregnant and giving birth.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know, there's so much uncertainty when you're pregnant. There's so much uncertainty when you're writing a book. Then labor is wild, chaotic. You don't know what's going on, you know. And for me, it was like giving birth by myself because it's not like I had, you know, people to help me with this. It's not like I had a doctor and a nurse or a coach or a publisher to work with. Mm-hmm. You know, I was doing this all on my own. And so I felt like I was giving birth all by myself to my first baby, and I had no clue what was going on.
That's a scary,
and even
scary
when you
position.
Work with a publisher. Yeah. Like my clients, you know, launch time is just crazy. But, you know, because I've done it so many times, I can just look at them and say, listen, these things happen. It's normal. I know how to deal with it. I'm that doctor and the nurse, right? That stands beside the person going, it's okay. I know this seems like it's nuts right now. You have no clue what's going on. You're confused. Okay, you're not generally in pain, but maybe emotionally you're in pain, you know, launching this book. But, you know, you've got somebody who's kind of holding your hand and saying, it's okay.
Yeah.
Here's how we get through it.
Yeah.
And I didn't have that. So those, you know, those first books were just hard, 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 hard. But one of the biggest things was what happened after I released those books. Now, I was hoping to make a little bit of money from book sales, but, you know, I knew I didn't know marketing. So, and that wasn't the main goal. The main goal was to help people. It was something I could give my team to read and then they could ask me questions. But because it was up on Amazon, and on Amazon, you could give it away free for 5 days.
Yeah.
I decided I just wanted to help everybody else in my company. So every 90 days, I could give that book away free for 5 days. So I would just give the books away. And I'd post on all the, you know, the Facebook groups that had, you know, my representatives and representatives for my company in it. And anyone, any group that would allow me, some of them wouldn't, even though I was giving the book away for free, you know, and so the word kind of got out there, and we were having our provincial conference and people found out I was going and they're like, Kim, can you bring me a copy of your book? Kim, can you bring me a copy of your book? Kim, can you bring me this book? Like, I want to buy this book. So when I went to conference, now, thankfully, I wasn't flying. I was driving. So I could, you know, just bring as many books with me as I needed. But when I got to conference, all of a sudden, I was sort of like one of the main attractions because everybody's like, Kim, I read your book and it helped me so much. And I was kind of like, I'm like, oh, okay. My knowledge had not changed. And before, because I hadn't reached the highest levels in the company. I mean, I was always in the top, you know, whatever, but I wasn't like the top of the top. I wasn't like the top 1%. I was probably in the top 10%. But because I wasn't that top of the top, you know, people didn't see me as someone who could help them. But then once I wrote the books, all of a sudden, all that changed. Now I was somebody that they wanted to listen to. And I actually ended up coaching several of them for about 6 months. They paid me to coach them.
Nice.
So the one of the things I want to get across with the book is a book is a tool, but there's also perceptions around a book. And right. One of the big perceptions is this, is that if you are an author, you're a more credible expert than someone who's not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's just a perception. It's not true.
Right. Right.
But people will assume you're more of an expert because you're an author.
True story. Yeah, that is very true. And when it comes to marketing, I've had this conversation before on the podcast. There's only really three steps: visibility, lead generation, and sales. That's pretty much the synthesis of marketing. And books often provide visibility and, if done well, lead generation.
Yes. Yeah. Here's the thing. You know, when you're looking at building a business, and not just from the marketing side, but, you know, especially when you're like a solopreneur or an entrepreneur, you know, a consultant professional, sort of in that space, you know, if you're in the B2B sort of, and you have a service. Okay, so we're not necessarily talking e-commerce or some of those other things, brick and mortar businesses. You know, each of them have their own special ways of marketing that are effective. But, you know, when you're in that B2B service space, you are right. Your tool becomes a lead generation when it is written correctly. And it also provides you the credibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not only do you have the know, like, trust factor that's created within the book, if done right, you also have, I believe this person can help me factor.
Right. Right.
So I would love to share, Jennifer, if you're okay, the six things that needs to be in a book to help it have convert readers into clients.
I love that. Yes, please. That was going to be my next question, was about your create method. So tell me your method.
So when you're thinking about writing a book for your business, first of all, don't think about selling the book. Okay, most people want to make money from selling the book. Get that out of your head. Okay, will you make some money from selling your book? Yes, but in many cases, you're going to be giving that book away.
Right. Yeah, you're not J.K. Rowling, my friends.
The money you're making is not from the sales of the book, but from the clients you get from having the book.
Right.
So I want you to think of six things, and they center around the word create. So how do you create a book that converts readers into clients? So C, one of the main goals of your book is to create authentic relationships. Don't try to sell in your book. Try to connect.
Right. I love that.
Think of it as this is your introduction. This is the way that people get to know you, like you, trust you, and believe in you. So while you do, and we will talk about that in a moment, want to get people into your funnels, into your products and services, that's not the main goal of the book. The main goal of the book is creating relationship and connection.
Mm-hmm.
Then R, you want to reveal the real problem. There's something that's stopping a person from getting point A to point B. And you know what that is. But generally, it's not what people think it is. So right. I've got an example for you there, Jennifer. So you told me you were married, right?
Right.
Okay, so here's the scenario. You walk into the bathroom. You look down. And the toilet paper roll is facing the wrong way again.
I love that.
Okay. Now, externally, it looks like she's mad because the toilet paper roll is the wrong way. But if you dive deeper, that's not the real problem.
Never about the toilet paper.
The real problem is she feels like her husband doesn't love her enough to put the toilet paper on the way that she likes it, just because she likes it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Toilet paper roll is the symptom. The real problem is just she's not feeling loved.
Right. Right.
So they'll fight about the toilet paper roll, but never get down to the real issue, is that she just wants him to do it that way. So it's a way of him proving that he loves her.
Yeah.
And if he just got that and put it on the way she want, man, life would be a lot easier. Men don't realize just how easy it is to actually please us. Like, do a few simple things.
And that is a whole different conversation.
Right? We won't go in too far into that one today. But men, put the toilet paper roll on the way your wife wants you to. So you've got to reveal the real problem. You've got to get down to the deep issue, because that's where people see your expertise.
Right.
When you can describe the real problem going on, they're like, oh, that really is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not this, it's this.
Yeah.
And if I solve this, then my other problems go away.
Yeah.
So you want your book to do a deep dive into the real problems that the person's facing, the real obstacles and the issues that are getting them from going from point A to point B. Then you have E, which is educate and engage. Educate, you know, now that they know what the real problem is, how do you solve it to get from point A to point B? Engage, you know, your book has to be engaging. It has to have good flow and readability and stuff like that, so people want to keep reading it. But you've also got to engage with them outside of the book. So this is where the marketing piece comes in. Right. This is where you're going to put in call to actions. You're going to direct them to different places where they can connect with you outside of the book. They can become part of your email list. They can get into your funnel. They can join you on social media. They can listen to your podcast. It's just, you've got to bring them out of the book into your world.
Right.
So A is your authentic message. Think of it as your thought leadership. How do you describe something in a way that's memorable? And it's not that your message is unique, but how you talk about your topic is unique. See, for me, I use the word create.
Right. Right.
That's sort of my thought leadership. It's create and scale. Create is how you write the book. Scale is how you use that book to build your business.
Yeah.
So now we're at T. And this is where the marketing one's really going to come in. Your book must be targeted. If you write to everyone, you're writing to no one. Your book has to be written to someone. And the someone you're writing that book to is the person that's going to benefit most from your service. So who is that one person that you can totally radically change their life? They'll become your brand ambassadors and tell everybody about you. This is the person that will love you for the rest of their life, and you can do no wrong. That is who you write the book to. Now, that doesn't mean that that's the only person it's going to affect. And there's, you know, a whole range of people that's going to affect, but you want to write it to the person that's going to affect the most.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times when I'm working with my clients, they'll, you know, they'll want to change this, or maybe we can add this person. And I have two words for them. I just look at them and I go, book two.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I think here's the reality. That's the way all marketing should be. You should be speaking to one person at a time, one thing at a time. Be very focused and targeted with your book and with your marketing, and it's going to work. It's when they don't work, whether it is a book or your marketing in general, it's generally because you've gone scattershot. It's generally because you've gone way too wide, and you're trying to talk to everybody and nobody's listening, or you're trying to sell a million things. And that's also going to be a problem because you're confusing people about what it is you really, really want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So that leaves E. Excellently done. Is it well written? Is it professionally edited? And I'm not talking about, you know, you have your hubby or your spouse read the book.
Yes.
Okay. Now, if they're an English major editor, I think that would apply. But generally, you're not going to have... You're not going to have your spouse or your sister or somebody like that edit your book.
No. I will tell you, as an avid reader, one of the things that drives me the craziest is when people don't edit their book properly. I will put them down and walk away, which means you've just lost your reader and your audience. And so, yeah, that is such an essential piece. We often write, and no matter how many times we look at it, I have to do this with my own, with marketing, and I have to have someone else read
it. You don't see it.
You don't. You've done it so many times. You've read over it so many times. You don't see just that little error.
Yeah.
My sister and I were talking about this, is actually just kind of sideline and funny story, but she had someone running for like alderman up the street, and he had a poster, and she brought the poster in, and she looked at her kids and she said, can you spot the issue? And he had put on there A-R-E instead of O-U-R. We were all like, where was your editor? Like, how much money did you spend on that? But just that small thing that we all do because we've looked at it a million times.
Yeah. 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 Our proofreaders at RTI Publishing, when they get a book, they've never seen it before. Our proofreading team does not touch the book until they proofread it for that very reason. You also want a professionally done cover.
Yeah.
You know, people say you don't judge a book by a cover, but in 2024, people judge a book by its cover. And if you want people to think of you as a professional, expert, authority to work with, you better fork out the money and get a good cover done. And yeah, not the cover that you just like. So what we do at RTI Publishing is we usually come up with 3 or 4 cover designs based on a questionnaire that the client fills out, because it is somewhat about their preferences and things, right, that they like. Okay, they've got to own this cover. But we do up 3 to 4. And usually it's narrowed down to about 1 or 2. And then I tell them, go put this out to your audience. Go put this out to your clients. Go put this out to people on social media and get their feedback. Because really, it's not about the cover that you want and like. It's really about the cover that's going to convert.
Yep. Yeah, that's the biggest
thing. And you cannot be emotionally attached to that cover.
True story. I think that again applies to all of your marketing. If you, yes, it needs to be branded. It needs to be in your voice. It needs to, you know, feel like you. However, the most important thing is whether or not your audience connects with it. Because if your audience isn't connecting with it, what difference does it make? And I'll also say, everybody's always judged a book by its cover. Like, even when we went into bookstores, we picked up the books that the cover attracted us first. It wasn't the title. It is always the cover. So absolutely, that visual is important.
Now, there was a time when covers weren't very... They were just one cover, you know, there might only be the title on it. They weren't graphically designed. So there was a time when you really couldn't judge a book by its cover, because there was really no cover to judge. But nowadays, that's not the case. And so you want to have something that catches your attention. So you've got to do that. And it's got to be formatted well. So formatting is what it looks like on the interior. If it's not well done, if things are misplaced, if it's just kind of sloppily put together, it's visually distracting. And it's the same as when things aren't edited well. People just stop reading. Now, think about how bad it is for me as an editor. I have You don't have no idea how hard it is for me to turn off my brain and read a book for the sake of reading the book and not be analyzing that thing. I stopped reading for a while because I just couldn't do it. I was not enjoying books because I was just always analyzing. I'm thinking, should I connect with the author and let them know that like, the stuff really has to be fixed because it's just so bad, right? But then I didn't want them to think I was trying to get their business. It's just like, oh, I really want to help you.
This is a fiction author, but there was an author a while back that I actually reached out. She's one of my favorite authors, but whoever her publisher was did not edit her book or proofread it before they put it out there. I actually emailed her and I'm like, I will do it for free. Just give me, you won't even have to pay me. This made me so mad. It was just, I don't know. But yeah, it's essential.
Yeah. So that's create. So you want to be thinking about all of those things before. Now the E, that you do as you're working on the book, you know, you're going to want to make sure that you set aside money for that. And people always ask me how much, and it depends on, you know, the quality of the person. And I mean, you know, for editing, formatting, cover design, you know, you're probably looking, you know, on the lower end, you know, maybe 2,000-3,000, on the higher end, 5,000. And it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even if you have to save up for it, it's worth it. Because when you put that book in that right person's hands and it's excellently done, you've just massively increased your odds of that person reading the book and connecting with you. If they put that book down because it's not excellently done, you've just wasted all that time and money.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely. Books are an invaluable tool to business owners who want to establish authority in their mm-hmm. field. And they are only valuable if they're done well. If you throw them together, and it's not even so much DIYing, because obviously you can. You did it when you launched your first book. You DIYed that whole process and it took you 6 months to do it, right? To really dive into the nitty gritty and do it the right way. So it's possible. However, if you don't have the timeline of waiting 6 months to a year, or the bandwidth to really dive really deep into figuring this out, it's kind of like running your own ads. If you don't have the time to really figure out how to do them well, you get to hire someone to help you along the way in whatever fashion that might look like. So RTI publishing.
Now you need.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just need to clarify one thing, because actually our clients, the general length to create a very high quality book is a year. So just to clarify that, because, you know, the first books I did were shorter books. Like they were 50 right. to maybe 100 pages. The books we do now are generally 100 to 200 pages. They're very well done. They're very excellently done. You know, the first month or so is just working out your thought leadership, the stories. Like we do deep dive into your target market. So before you even start the book, you've already got a lot of these things answered, and it actually helps you to build the rest of your business because you have these things answered for the book. But it does take about a year to mm-hmm. do a very high quality book. So, you know, if someone says that they can put something together for you in 3 or 4 months, yes, but I'd highly doubt that it's going to be something that's going to be really good.
Let's also be real about how long it takes somebody to write. Like if they are writing their book, they're not hiring a ghostwriter to do it. If they are actually writing their book, it may take you a minute to get those words on paper. And, you yeah. know, there's also, I mean, I know that in book development, there's all kinds of steps that go in before you even mm-hmm. get to the writing port. But once you start writing, it might take you a little bit to get those words on the paper. And then mm-hmm. you go through the whole process. But it definitely can take some time investment.
Yeah. And emotional investment. You know, when you've written the book yourself and you've sent it to the editor and they send it back to you, you know, that first time you're probably going to want to cry because all you're going to see is red.
Right. Right. Yes, I get that. Yeah. I talked to a friend of mine who was who's going through the process of writing a book, and she did, like, she was like, I'm on round four of my edits. She's like, I don't even know how they're still finding things, which is yep. true. But the point is, at the end, her book is going to be mm-hmm. as excellently written as humanly possible. And that's what you want when you're writing a book. So most tell me definitely. About RTI Publishing. How do people, what kind of people usually come to you? How do they connect with you? What's a good way for them to reach out if they are looking to write a book?
So we work predominantly with very high level consultants, professionals, speakers, some very high level coaches, but not general coaches. And we ghostwrite, produce, and publish what we call their signature book. These are the marketing tools that they use to build their business. There's a couple ways to get a hold of me. If you go to rtipublishinghouse.com, so rtipublishinghouse.com, and go to the contact us page, you can send me an email there. If you're really serious about writing a book, you fall into that category. I always try to offer a free hour of my time. I don't have a lot of them, but if you're serious about writing a book, I will donate a free hour of my time to answer your questions, guide you on the process, give you the next step. So we'll discuss where you're at, and I will give you customized next steps for you to move forward with a book. And not just with me, but also if you choose to do it yourself. You can also find me on LinkedIn. That's my preferred place. Connect with me on LinkedIn. Really easy. Word Ninja Kim, or type in Kim Thompson Pinder. Either way, I'm very easy to find because I don't think there's another Kim Thompson Pinder on LinkedIn. And I know there's not another Kim Thompson Pinder on Facebook, though LinkedIn's my preferred place. So connect with me there. Send me a DM and let's talk. If you just generally want to know more about, you know, book publishing and how does that play out and how to use it to scale your business, check out the Author to Authority podcast. We've got 2 to 3 episodes a week for you. And I bring on vetted experts like Jennifer, who are going to help you move your business forward step by step.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for being on today, Kim. For all of you that are thinking about writing a book or wanting to up your visibility and authority, reach out to Kim or head over to the Author Authority podcast and give it a listen. I will have all of these contacts in the show notes, so you can always reach out that way as well. So Kim, is there one last thing you want to say to the audience before we wrap up for today?
We talked about visibility. Visibility is one of the keys to building your business. When you are visible and known, you are more likely to get business than when you are not. And so don't be afraid to shine. Don't be afraid to get out there and share your knowledge. Don't be afraid to develop that thought leadership and let the world know it. Now, is it always easy? No. And if you're an introvert, it's even harder. But I can promise you that visibility is one of the keys that once you conquer it, your business life gets a whole lot better. So go on out there and shine.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me today, Kim. And thank you everyone for listening in. Reach out if you are looking to grow your business, increase your revenue, and scale your impact. Let's get a strategy call scheduled at yourmarketingmatchmaker.com. Thank you for listening to the Marketing Matchmaker podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love to hear your feedback. Please head over to Apple, iTunes, and leave a review so we can hear from you. And if you are a coach, consultant, or online course creator who are looking to grow your business, increase your income, and scale your impact, connect with me at yourmarketingmatchmaker.com. I look forward to hearing from you.